to Sunday Magazine on 100.7 Star.
Good morning. I'm Kelly with Sunday Morning Magazine, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to talk to today's guest, mainly because I believe in her and her mission so much. And in today's climate, I think the philosophies that she's spreading and she believes in are just so important. Mary Grace Musenegi has been helping individuals and small business owners develop strategies for pursuing their financial goals for over 40 years now. There's no one better, in my eyes at least. She founded Single Step Strategies, a life planning resource for women, and today we get to learn more about her and what she does. Mary Grace, thanks again for your time.
I'm glad to be here, Kelly.
I'm glad to have you. So let's kick it off. Mary Grace, I always like to ask first-time interviewees to give us a little bit of background on them and how exactly you ended up where you are right now.
Well, actually, I had no intentions of being where I am right now. I went to college to be an English teacher. I was really into literature back in those days, and I thought that would be a wonderful career move for me. But as life would have it, when I began teaching, I married my high school sweetheart. He was a Marine, he was an officer in the Marine Corps. And 5 years into our marriage, we had our first child. But unfortunately, my husband was killed in an automobile accident. And so overnight, I became a single parent. And I decided that teaching may not necessarily be the way for us to be able to pursue the kind of life that I wanted for myself and my son, mostly because back in those days, the salaries for teachers were not very lucrative. And I knew that I needed to be making a little more money so that I could afford to buy a house. So I went out looking for a career that might give me that opportunity. I actually did get a chance to work for an insurance company back then as an assistant, but in those days they didn't hire women to be insurance agents, not at this firm anyway. And so I realized that the people, though, the men that were working there, were probably making a whole lot more than I was, and it was an opportunity for me to think about, gee, if I could do this, maybe I could have a better lifestyle for myself and my son. So that's where I got the ball rolling. I began in the financial services industry basically back there many, many years ago.
Well, I love the title of your book, A Man Is Not a Plan. And it says a lot, and especially in today's climate when the generation that I think is now grown up like my own, I'm 31 years old, and my parents always strive for me to be the best that I could be, that women can do it just as well. But, you know, there would always be the grandparents or the aunts who would say, I hope you marry a rich man and you have a great life. And I married a man who was 100% my equal, thank God. But if someone right now is considering reading your book, A Man Is Not a Plan, what would you say that it's about? And again, where did the title come from? Because that is genius.
Yeah, well, obviously A Man Is Not a Plan sounds really cool because it rhymes. But the title could really be A Man Is Not a Plan, but neither is a woman or your sister or your mother or your dad or your boss or your bartender or anyone. No one should be your plan. You should have a plan of your own. I was raised by a single mom, and she made us very aware of the fact that what she would say was, don't put the keys to your happiness in somebody else's pocket. You need to be in charge of your own life. You need to be driving in your own lane and driving towards the goals that you want and not depending on somebody else to do that for you. So The Man Is on a Plan, yeah, there's a lot of stories in there about how women really need to be looking at not just the man in their lives as their plan, but don't be looking at a lot of other people to be the plan. You are the plan.
Okay. I like that a lot. Now, where did you always have this confidence? Because you sound like so sure of it. If there's a woman listening right now who's thinking, I mean, I agree, Mary Grace, but there's no way that I can shift my mindset. I'm this late in the game. I'm this many years old. How did you get to the place that you are right now?
Oh, it's a growing and learning experience. Life is filled with challenges and changes, and you just learn from each of them. No, I wasn't this confident. I think that, you know, life itself has given me the ability to start to learn about my own talents and my own abilities and to use them to my best. I don't think there's ever a time frame on being successful and being independent. I mean, look at the many people in our society who really didn't make it until they were in their 60s and 70s. So that sense of independence, you know, and the sense of confidence can come at any time. I think everything starts with desire. You desire to do something and you find the path to doing it.
Absolutely. And your story that you told us a little bit earlier, that would lead anyone down a dark path. And I think that that's also important to really focus on the fact that making lemonade out of life's lemons is so incredibly important because we're only on this earth for such a short amount of time and life is so fleeting. And that is really proven in all of our lives. We've all gone through something where that really slapped us in the face and we realized that. Do you think that positive approach kind of that you need to take a positive approach from something that may have happened to you before because that's just, you know, the way it needs to be, or you'll go down this dark path that you don't want?
Yeah, you know, I think that the fact remains that when you face any kind of challenge or change in your life, you really only have two choices. You can either decide to accept the challenge and overcome it, or you can succumb to it. And, you know, like you said, we only go around once. Who was it, Lucille Ball, that said, you know, we only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough.
Right.
You only have one opportunity to do this and make the most of each day. Becoming a widow at an early age really impressed upon me, you know, the whole carpe diem thing. Seize the day. This is it. This is all we know we have. Make it the best you possibly can.
I love it. I love your positivity. Truly, it is contagious. But I want to go back to your book just because I got the chance to get through about half of it. I can't wait to finish it. I have a young daughter, so she takes away a lot of my time at night. But whenever I started to write it, I was just like, I felt your sense of passion. The book was written from 100% life experiences and things that you really want for other women. To kind of go into that, why did you write this book? Why did you kind of get that itch to put it into words and get it out to the masses?
Yeah, that's a sort of an interesting story. I have been doing a talk about financial independence for women for many, many years. And then I realized that it's not just financial independence, it's independence in all the areas of your life. And so I started to do a little talk called A Man Is Not a Plan, where I told all kinds of stories, stories about me, stories about people I met, stories about clients. And at one particular event, a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, "Are those stories you tell, are they all true?" And I said, "Oh, they must be by now. I've been telling them for so long." And she said, "Well, if they are, they're great, and you ought to write them down." And I thought, you know what, I probably should. I think it would be fun to just take them and put them into a storybook. But maybe it could at least be an opportunity for women to see themselves in maybe one of these stories and then inspire them to either change what they're doing or do more of what they're doing if they're doing what they like.
And that's a great segue into my next question. That would be your company's Single Step Strategies, which really focuses on helping women life plan. And I think that is something that no one does and everyone needs to. So your organization, again, Single Step Strategies is the name of it for anyone who wants to look farther into it. How does that exactly help women, and how can someone who's listening right now contact you for services, or what do you offer to them?
Yeah, actually, the focus of Single Step Strategies is basically to get information and education into the hands of women. Women can contact us just by calling a phone number here or going on the website or liking us on Facebook. And we do a lot of things. We recognize that in our daily business where we help people with finance, we aren't equipped to help those people with a lot of other things. And we were meeting women who were really suffering life challenges that we weren't equipped to give them the advice they needed. So we gathered together some professionals and organizations and referral services that we could refer women to hopefully get them started on the right path and get them in front of the people who really do have the knowledge and the information. In the meantime, we do workshops. Twice a year we do a program called For Women Who Wine, and we invite women to join us for an evening to sit around and drink wine, and they can whine about their kids and their dogs and their bosses and anything they want to talk about and communicate with others. But we always have a speaker, too. And our next one actually is coming up on April 25th, and it's going to be with Patricia Boswell, who is a counselor and an author. And so, again, we make these available to women to come and enjoy and learn from each other, not just from the world around them.
Oh, thank you for that, for giving women an outlet to have a glass of wine and wine. That is the best event I've ever heard. But back to your book real quick. Who do you think that A Man Is Not a Plan targets? Who should be reading this book? If they see it, who should be picking it up?
You would think that maybe it would just be women, but I'm going to tell you why it might be men, too. But, yes, obviously it's for women. But it's for women of every age. We have stories in the book and guidelines in the book for helping women who are just getting started or who are starting out and starting over. We have information in there for women who are up in years and maybe find themselves in a position where they're now alone. You know, 87% of all women will spend some portion of their adult life as a single, and they need to be prepared for that. But it's also focused on women who are in great relationships. I'm in a great relationship right now and have been for 20 years. So basically, it's not an anti-man kind of thing. What it is being prepared that at some point in time, that man may leave by choice or by chance, and you want to be prepared to be able to stand on your own. And so single-step strategies and our book, A Man Is Not a Plan, really focus on hoping that we can assist women in getting the confidence to be prepared to take on whatever happens to them. The interesting thing is that I have had a number of men buy the book to give to their daughters, to give to I had a young man ask me last year if he could buy one for his mother for Mother's Day because he really felt that she wasn't capable of taking care of herself the way she should. And he had a father who was ill, and he wanted to be sure that his mom would have some strategies that when the time came that she would be out there on her own. I gave my talk a few years ago at the Pittsburgh Business Library, and three men came to it. And two of the men said they came because they thought their wives should have been there and the wives didn't want to come. So the information is valuable to all women, but it also can be something that men can share with their wives or with their girlfriends or sisters or mothers.
Absolutely. And you saying that how important it is to be prepared whenever the man in your life, if you have one, isn't there. This is not just in death. This is if a breakup happens. The divorces happen every day. They're more common than marriages. So I feel like it's important to really prepare for the worst, even when you think everything's sunshine and roses. And I know that's hard. It's like writing a will when you're still alive. Everyone does it. It's an uncomfortable subject. But can you stress how important it is to financially plan whether or not that man's in your life or not?
I think the important thing is to remember that a lot of times women stay in relationships because they don't have the financial wherewithal to get out of the relationship.
Yeah.
And so when we talk to women who are often in abusive marriages, it's because they have no place to go financially. So that in itself is a reason for women to be sure that they're doing their own planning. The other thing is, even if you're one of those 13% that stay in your marriage till the end of your days, isn't it nice to be a good, strong partner for that man or that woman that's in your life?
100%.
The way to do that is to make sure that you have the education and the skills to be able to be a good helpmate. I've gone through some health issues with my significant other, and, you know, it's good that I know that he knows that I'll be able to take care of everything and that he can depend on me, and I'm a good helper to him. And I think women, even if they are in those relationships for a long time and they're good, solid relationships, they want to be a good helpmate to the other person.
Absolutely. And that's such a good way to look at it. A marriage is a team. A relationship is a team. And now more than ever, women, we want a seat at the table. So we're going to get that seat by making sure that we're a good part of the team, as always. So, Mary Grace, what would you tell young women about their financial life? Like, what's the one thing that women typically miss when it comes to their finances? Because right now, you would be talking directly to me. I'm 31 years old. I've been married for 2 years. I have almost a one-year-old daughter. Finances are insane to me, just because I feel like my head is spinning at any given moment of the day.
Well, education, education, education. The more knowledge you have, the better it is. You know, when clients of mine come to me with ideas that they've seen somewhere else or heard from someone else, I say to them, you know what, nobody has a monopoly on all the good ideas. You want to grab ideas and information from any resource you can. I think the important thing for young women is to remember that there may come a time when they're not just young. They can't, you know, women today, I think, a lot of them come out of colleges with a lot of loan, a lot of debt. I think taking control of debt very early and remembering that you're planning for the future, I think that's really important. So the basics. I think what women need to do today is see the basics. And, you know, it's okay if you are in a relationship with someone else who handles the finances. That's all right, too. But you want to make sure that periodically you're checking in on that. I tell women, just like you did, that, you know, marriage is a partnership. But marriage is also sort of like a business. You bring your best qualities, your best talents to the business to make the business grow. And so if someone, you know, the other partner in the relationship is better at finances, that's okay if he or she goes off and handles that. But even in any business, there are quarterly meetings. There's an annual review. So there should be a time where, as partners, you sit down and review your finances together. It's good to have a stash of cash. I think that's true of anyone. So for young women, yes, you can have that joint checking account and savings account, and you can do all the bills together, but both of you need to have a stash of cash. That gives you a sense of freedom, the ability to have money if there's an emergency, if a need arises, if it is that time when you need to be moving on from that relationship.
Yeah, and it alleviates the awkwardness that would happen. My mom and my grandma always, they call it underwear drawer money, and it's in an envelope, like they have, my grandma had it underneath her mattress, and it's just there just in case, not for any other reason. It could be for an emergency, it could be for something fun that you think you deserve that maybe your significant other just doesn't understand, i.e. the Louis Vuitton bag that you've wanted for over a year. That's so important, and I think it just kind of stresses that financial independence, because especially if you're a woman who works, and if you're a woman who stays at home with the children, because that's still a job, I think sometimes a way harder job than any of us have, you still deserve to have that little bit of freedom. I think that would alleviate more fights.
Absolutely. And having the right to make your own decisions about some things, it keeps that independence alive, even if you are a stay-at-home mom. Having that, my mother kept her stash of cash in a Maxwell House coffee can in the back of the pantry. So same thing, you know, you want to have your own savings account. You want to have your own credit. That's very important. I think today credit has become such an important issue, and young women need to be aware of that. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of credit cards. But the other side of that was that when you went to apply for a job, nobody looked at your credit rating. Today, that credit rating can be the result of the cause of you paying more for a car, getting a less-paying job. So credit is very important. So it's one of the first things I think we all should do. My credit rating is fabulous, but I still check it every single week.
Okay.
Just to make sure I didn't do something stupid in the meantime.
Right, right. And that's very likely in my life. But you mentioned before really tackling debt early on. Again, I'm at the age right now where I'm about 10 years removed, and I'm watching my friends. And I'm not saying I haven't in the past. Fortunately enough, I did get it under control quickly and early. But I'm watching some of my friends who want to start families just drown. How would you suggest tackling that debt early?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to start with a budget. The reason that a lot of people use credit cards so easily is because somehow they haven't determined what they should be spending. They just spend.
Right.
We need to know how much we can afford to spend. So a clear budget is very important. If all of a sudden you start realizing that you're going out to eat three times a week and that's all going on a credit card, that means that your food budget should include going out to eat three times a week. And if all of a sudden your food budget is $1,000 a month, then you need to get it under control. So budgeting is not, as, you know, I've always called it the B word, because I say budget and you see people shriek, oh, wow, I don't want to live on a budget. doesn't necessarily mean that you have constraints. You know, successful companies, successful people have budgets. People with lots and lots of money have budgets because they have an understanding of how they're spending their money and what they can do. I also say find out what your discretionary income is. Make sure that in your budget you're not only just paying the bills, but you're planning for things like kids' education, maybe second home, retirement. If all of those things are already taken care of, whatever is left over, that's yours. You can spend without any guilt whatsoever. You can go out and buy that Louis Vuitton bag. But if you have a lot of debt, you need to get that debt taken care of, and the best way to do that is sit down and look at your budget and not create more debt. You know, I've seen people, and I've worked a lot counseling women who, well, I will say, how'd you get that $5,000 on that credit card? And they go, oh, I don't know. I think I bought some shoes. I think I went out to dinner. They can't even tell you what they spent the money on. And yet the other side of it is when I remind them that they have now paid for that $100 pair of shoes 10 times by having to have it on a credit card, they think about, gee, I could have 10 other pairs of shoes.
Right. That's what I thought.
So taking control of that debt is significantly important. The other thing I think that women in general, not just young women in general do not do that they should do, is they need to recognize that their income, no matter whether it's the secondary income or the primary income in a marriage or in any relationship, it needs to be protected. The one thing, the one missing thing that women do not plan for is their own disabilities. And that's probably the most underutilized financial program that women use, and that's disability insurance. And the reason I think that's so important is we're just the kind of people who just keep doing and doing and giving and giving and taking care of others. And there's a time where we have to stop and remember we have to take care of ourselves. So we need to plan that if the time comes that we're not able to earn a living, that we have the resources to make sure that our income can continue.
Absolutely. And you can't take care of someone else if you can't take care of yourself at the end of the day.
You're right.
Absolutely. Now, would you encourage, and just because with your experience, I am positive that you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of your industry. Would you encourage young women to get involved in financial planning and related careers? Because this, I feel like, was at one time an all dudes party.
Oh, yes. And you know what? I think women were the perfect people to be in this industry. You know, men do a great job of networking, and women need to learn to do more of that. But the other side of it is we do something else. We nurture. So we don't just network for relationships. We nurture relationships. And so we have the ability to work with couples, individuals, businesses, and bring that to their financial situation. Yeah, and you're right. It's still in many ways, it's still a man's world to some extent. I have my daughter-in-law is in the business, and she went to a conference recently, and there were 40 men and 2 women. So that still does exist. But the other side of it is that maybe it's our fault that there's 40 men and 2 women.
Right.
Maybe we need to be showing up at these things. Maybe we need to be networking stronger than we do. And not just with women organizations. There's a lot of fabulous networking organizations for women today in the financial arena. But that means that we're spending our time just with women. And we need to get out there, and we need to be networking with the men in the industry because they still have the cards, you know, in some respects that we need to learn to play with.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. And myself in radio and in media in general, I'm also in a male-dominated industry. And I will tell you something, as intimidating as it was in the beginning, and I'm sure it was for you too when you first started, it feels good every single day to come and know that, you know, you do have a seat. You play a crucial part. It kind of makes you feel even better about that.
You're absolutely right.
I love it. Mary Grace, I could not have loved our time talking today more. You're an absolute inspiration to a ton of different women. How can people get your book?
It's available on our website, singlestepstrategies.com. It's available on Amazon. It's also available through the Post Gazette Slide, the app for the Post Gazette PG Slide. So those are probably the easiest ways. And if anything else, they can always stop by our office, and we'd be more than happy to give them an autographed copy.
Excellent, excellent. I have one. I absolutely love it. Mary Grace, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Kelly. Have a great day.
You too. Again, Mary Grace Musenegi, the chairman and the CEO of Musenegi Financial Group and the founder and executive director of Single Step Strategies and the author of A Man Is Not a Plan. If you want more info on Mary Grace, her incredible work, again, singlestepstrategies.com. And remember, ladies, a man is not a plan. You can succeed however you'd like to. I'm Kelly with Sunday Morning Magazine. Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Sunday Magazine, a public affairs program on CBS Radio Pittsburgh. Join us next.